Welcome to Knock Talk, North of Center's podcast about the challenges of leading in a world that operates at the speed of send. During this episode, Knock CEO Cliff W. Gilmore and Knock COO BJ Fitzpatrick Jr. discuss the differences between leading, mentoring, and coaching, and the importance of building a relationship with someone who can be a sounding board and provide outside perspective. Hello and welcome back to North of Center's Principles, Talking Principles. You're here with me, Cliff W. Gilmore, the founder and CEO of North of Center, and BJ Fitzpatrick Jr., the CEO and my trusty sidekick. really, he's the guy who drives me to do better stuff. We're here today to talk about coaching, leadership, and mentorship, which is a pretty wide-ranging thing, but we want to focus in on a couple areas there. One of them is... What's the difference? And then the second piece is, you know, what's it take to be a good one? And that's still pretty broad, but we're going to narrow it down with a few stories and chat it up the way we do, and we'll see what comes out of it. BJ, you sent me some good notes on this one, and thoughts start out with the idea that, you know, we all know some great leaders. We've probably all experienced some moderate to not so great leaders, and undoubtedly we've experienced some rough ones. But just because someone's a good leader doesn't mean they're a good coach and or mentor. I'm going to throw the mic right back to you and look for your thoughts. What's the difference there, and what makes a good mentor? What's the difference there between, you know, a leader who's leading well and a leader who's also a quality mentor?
Well, in my mind, one of the things is I think you can be a decent leader without necessarily being a great mentor. And it comes a lot from a lot of things, namely being busy. And what does a leader get involved with? How many things does he or she get pulled away to do? And it takes away time. The one thing I'm always left with is that the mentors I've known seem like they have infinite time in their day to do the right thing. They've always got time to teach. They've got time to settle in and talk to somebody one-on-one. They've got time to stop something and take a moment and have a quality piece of time. And that's just what those mentors have in common. I aspire to that. I don't consider myself one of those because it's hard. I want to be that. I want to be better at it. But it's those people that seem like they have all that time.
You really cracked open a line of thought there that I hadn't explored much at all over time. But when I take those thoughts and I look back at some of my great leaders and then ask, were they also great mentors? There is a distinction there. I worked for one fairly senior fellow. We're talking like White House level, national security and foreign policy advising type stuff, who was, 30, 40 years, close to 40 years, hardcore leadership experience, but also... talking through this was one of the most amazing mentors that I had. And that's, you just hit it. He had the time somehow. Now, in fairness, this guy was one of those probably genius level human beings who also had the amazing just physiological gift of, I think he functioned at high level on maybe 4 hours sleep a night and could, say, hey, give me 10 minutes to regroup. He'd go sleep for 10 minutes. He'd okay, I'm sleeping now. He'd be out. 10 minutes later, come out awake and refreshed and ready to roll. So maybe that's how we magically found all that time, because we all
kind of like Benjamin Franklin kind.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, he didn't have to sleep. And there are people like that. Most leaders I'm advising right up, I say, hey, have a sleep plan. you're going to get tired eventually. And this was one of those folks who was the extreme outlier who just didn't need to, and functioned fine. I guess we could kind of explore like, well, how well would he have functioned on 8 hours a night? But I think he flat out was operating at genius level. But I
think physiologically, Cliff, if I could go to that real quick, you have to get your sleep. And if 6 hours doesn't do it for you, then don't try to work on 6 hours. Occasionally you can, and occasionally you need to, but work on your amount of sleep.
Sure.
Some people do have four as their number. It's not me. I'm twice that.
Takes me to the college days where, if you're up till 3, you look at the clock and go, might as well stay up. And then you just keep going and you catch up later. And now I look at it and you change as you age. if I pull an all-nighter now, it's got to be for a really good reason and I better have a plan to recover.
If I see it 3 o'clock in the morning, it's because I'm up doing something else and having been just asleep.
Yeah. But this guy, so, you know, getting back on topic that I chased this away from, you know, this guy as a mentor was incredible because he did that. He took the time. You know, that's one of the things I've discovered is you learn the most from those leaders who are able to take the time to actually mentor you. So, you know, they have a fantastic leadership skill set. They can take a team exactly where it needs to go. And that's good stuff. But the real masterful ones are also able to stop and pass that on. And I learned the most from those leaders who were able to do that deliberately, that they took an active role in passing on that leadership experience, whether it was recognizing I was stumbling and saying, hey, what's going on? Let's talk through solutions. Or if it was them just taking their time to explain what they were doing and why they were doing it, sharing examples from the past, they just took that time to do it. And that was a very powerful thing. You know, oddly enough, there's sort of two other general categories of leaders to learn from. And the ones I learned the most from after those active mentors were the really toxic, brutal ones. And that was sort of the opposite spectrum. They didn't take the time out to help me, but we learned through pain. And so I learned a tremendous amount from the few, fortunately few, highly toxic leaders I had to work for. And then the third category becomes the leaders who are themselves learning and growing, and they're, you know, they're good at it for whatever reason, or they're getting better at it, but because they're learning as they go, they you know, perhaps just haven't mastered that ability to take the time, find the time yet. And those you learn the least from because you have to take the active role in doing it. And you know, followership really comes into play there when you have one of those leaders, because what you're really doing as part of their team is helping them learn and grow as a leader, and you're leading up as much as you can. But you, as a leader, you grow and develop the least, I've found, from working from one of those kind, because it takes all the work, not all of it, but it takes the work from you. You have to actively watch and think and observe. And of course you should be doing those things all the time. But in terms of learning the most, you learn the most from your mentors. You learn the second most from your really rough leaders, where you're making your list of, well, that didn't work. Let's not be that guy. Learn third and last from the growing and learning and developing leaders themselves, who just haven't found the knack yet for passing that on. But that's a key distinction there, BJ, between leadership and mentorship, and how it goes. I'll wrap up this particular monologue with a recommendation to anyone listening that you go seek a mentor. You know, find one who's willing to give you that time and be that person. If they don't fall in your lap, you've got to seek them out. But having one of those people is a tremendous resource. And that bridges us to the third element we were talking here. We had leadership and mentorship, and we also have coaching. And a lot of what coaching is and the service we provide is it's almost a sort of a mercenary approach to mentorship. It's, hey, you don't have one, we'll be that one. But that's really the role we fill when we coach our clients. Is that mentorship role? We're a sounding board for someone who can say things to us that they couldn't say to, you know, any of their peers or members of their team. and we provide that outside perspective on what's going on with them. So we can, you know, we can ask good questions and check their work along the way and help them go. So coaching and mentorship, I'll propose, are very similar. I'll throw the mic back to you then and say, hey, am I on track there? Or is there more to think about between coaching and mentorship, BJ?
I think the main difference between coaching and mentorship is the relationship you have with that particular person. Mentorship usually grows. I've always found there's an emotional attachment to a mentor because they've brought you along. You feel like much of your success was due to the things they imparted upon you, the example they set, the things they might have done for you throughout time. And a coach might not have that relationship, but a coach enjoys a couple other things as well. Usually the mentor is that special person that you can come in and just say anything and you know it's going to be good. And not everyone is that person. And we all know you got to be careful with what you say and where. But a mentor usually is that kind of person where they take it for the comments you may be making with vile or whatever it is, or pointed aspersions, and they take it for what it's meant as. You're frustrated, you're saying things you probably don't mean, and move on. Or you probably mean it, but you'll get over it. And or I agree with you, but it can't leave this room, and those kind of things. So it, whatever, however that works. A coach is the same kind of way, except the emotion isn't involved there. And the emotional relationship is a little bit different. But that also serves itself in a lot of good ways. The coach usually, because in essence of coming to you, me, or Jackie at this point and asking for coaching, the first thing is we are not encumbered by your problems. So that when you say, I've got this problem, there's a lot of times when somebody isn't having your problem. Matter of fact, in my last job, we had a problem. And we knew we had to tell the chief of staff it was going to be important. And we kind of had a sort of boss in between us, and that was a whole other problem that I won't get into. But he is a great guy. So me and my replacement, she and I went to talk to this guy and said, we got to go tell the chief of staff this. And I tell you, I was older than him. I had been around. I was now a civilian, but I had been in the Marine Corps longer than him. I was a colonel longer than he had been a colonel. And she and I walked in and said, this is what we have to do. And he said, that sounds great. Now, if you tell the chief of staff, you know you get everything that comes with that, which is the following 14,000 things that you don't want. And he didn't say 14,000, but he said, you get my point. And we went, And he said, how about we just wait, do X, Y, and Z, and think about Q. And we said, wow, that's some pretty smart stuff. And we walked out. We didn't have to talk to the chief anymore. And the main point to my story here is he was not encumbered by the things that were messing up our brains. Mm-hmm. We just thought we had it all figured out. We had to get to that bottom point. We walked into him. He's coming in with a clean slate and say, sure, that's what you want to do? Because here's what's going to happen. And we went, damn it. And he was right off the bat. So that's what a coach does too. I had the emotional relationship with this guy because I really liked him a lot, and so did my replacement, but unencumbered by those things that are messing up your brain, that are keeping you from seeing the forest for the trees. I've never said a coach isn't necessarily going to be smarter than you. They're just less bothered than you, and can therefore kind of see the forest for the trees and say, well, have you thought about doing this? And they don't know anything about your business. They don't know anything. And you go, wow, who'd have thought?
Yep. That outside perspective is powerful. And I'm going to chuckle at ourselves here because it's taken us a record, I think, 10 minutes to get to the first mention of communication-based leadership. But what kept popping into my mind with that example you just gave was the timeliness principle on full display. That it sounds like you went to someone who was able to take a look at the problem set and look at you and go like, well, at some point, presumably your chief of staff was going to need to know something, but now's not the time. Work through things a little bit more. And that's a really great example of that timeliness piece being considered in terms of when do you interact, when do you engage, when do you communicate with either your words or your actions. I want to come back to that idea of the coaching, though, and the relationship. And there's another CBL tie. One of the enduring truths of communication-based leadership is that leadership is about relationships. And in the coaching relationship, I'm going to concur with you that on the front end, you don't have that emotional tie between a coach and a client, perhaps. By default, it isn't there. If it's a new person you're getting to know, you're starting a relationship from scratch. Certainly, there's a degree of emotion and passion and energy in the coaching that we do. But we go into those relationships knowing that one of the core truths of success for leadership is that it's about relationships. Let's build that relationship. I haven't had a client yet that I didn't build a relationship with that became some sort of an emotional connection. I made the comment earlier that the coaching, in a sense, is a bit of a mercenary thing. It's paid mentorship. But the relationships that I have built with those clients have endured beyond. And I am still in very much a non-paid mentor role with pretty much every client I've had. There will be times, and I invite this, as we close out our formal coaching relationship, say, hey, I'm your coach for life. And if you have a pop-up question or you're going through a rough day or something, now you have somebody who can play that mentor role. You have somebody who knows who you are, knows what you've been going through, has a bit of that emotional connection.
but can also then still provide that outside perspective and be that sounding board for things that you know in privacy of the discussion. It's a place you can call back, and I get that from our clients now who will call back and say, hey, do you have time on your schedule? And I've moved beyond coaching and on into mentorship at that point. And I don't say, sure, let's book the call and send you an invoice. I say, let me look at my schedule. Yep, got it. My time is yours. You need 30 or 60 minutes. How long? Let's do this and have those calls.
Hey, Cliff.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. And I think the audience would totally agree with you. But as you're talking, I'm thinking, we're talking coaching. I'll put my quote fingers up. Coaching.
Air quotes.
Coaching. And I'm thinking, so I call you for coaching. What the heck is that? What have you done? How does it go? What is a coaching look like?
Mm-hmm. That's a fair question. And I get that one a lot. I think that's the question at the heart of what I encounter when it comes to sort of reticence about hiring a coach or getting involved in a coaching relationship. First pushback that I sense in a lot of people is the idea that if they have a coach, they kind of think of it like, oh my gosh, if I have a therapist, then I've got problems and it's weakness. By the way, having a therapist, not at all a sign of weakness either. But I get a little of that pushback. And then the next piece I get is just like, it's what is that exactly anyway? And how it goes. And it is a relationship. And it's, yes, it's going out and finding somebody to establish a formal contractual relationship for services, frankly. But the process is a process of getting to know each other. It's a process of having the coach play that mentorship role of asking questions, challenging your thoughts. And sometimes just saying, what you're going through is totally normal. By the way, you're like, oh, I'm so frustrated right now. Well, yeah. Welcome to leadership. I had one client, was working with him through that incredibly difficult challenge of being elevated from among your peers to a position of leadership. He's in the tech industry. He's a programmer, engineer by trade, or programmer by trade. And, hadn't really ever given much direct thought to leadership and what it all meant. I mean, he understood it kind of generally. But we worked with him to say, okay, well, let's start by digging into what do you think leadership means to you? And we helped him craft his personal leadership philosophy and helped him articulate that. So he and I worked together to just dig through all of the experiences and perspective he had about leadership and focus on it. And then put it down on paper. And I do this with most of my clients at some point. We say, let's get you can articulate your personal leadership philosophy. Leadership means to me, and as a leader, I aspire to. And that what that looks like in terms of process is regularly scheduled calls, me being available, you or Jackie being available as coaches on call, on demand, but regularly scheduled calls where we get into that one, building the relationship with the client, but also then giving them some structure and some form and process to think through what leadership is, to think through, teach them some new strategies on how to deal with some leadership challenges that they're going to face. And very often just getting the point across that, what you're facing is new and personal for you, but it's not new in the universe. And we've been there and we can walk you through this. I'll close out the talk about that particular programmer client. When he was getting ready to move into that new position, he said, oh man, we've restructured the whole team, the team of teams. We've realigned all of our people. And I'm pretty sure I'm being set up for failure because when I look down the list of people that are being given to me, there's this weak link, there's this guy who's struggling, there's this guy, we're not sure how long he even plans to stay. We think he's looking for the door, all these things. In my role as coach/mentor, I looked back and said, hey, welcome to leadership. Nobody promotes a leader into a leadership position to lead a perfect team. They're promoting you because they've got a team that needs to be built and they have the confidence you can do that. So yep, leadership's hard. So let's get going. Let's explore this. Let's talk about your team. Let's walk through you getting to know who they are, what their abilities are, what their weaknesses are. Know them inside and out. Let's work through you know, you being able to tell them clearly what their goals and priorities are and what your own leadership philosophy is so that you set the tone for the team you're building. And that was a long way around. I think I got to the question of what's coaching look like. It's building a relationship over time. It's regularly scheduled interaction, whether it's in person or you know, through video conference, remote, to give some framework to leadership development and thinking about leadership, and then providing you know, perspective and strategies on how to succeed in that leadership role.
You brought up two things when it comes to coaching. And now I'm trying to think of what the first one was because I was heading so fast to the second one. So let's start with number two while we're here. Commonalities amongst especially new leaders. But you know what? I found that as I was a very senior leader, you fall prey to a lot of the same things. The propensity for a young leader, because you're thrust into this position, so obviously you can't tell those who work for you all your problems. I mean, people take that as like lesson number one, stop talking to people. And it's way more nuanced than that. But
leadership is a lonely place.
Leadership is a lonely place. Maybe you'll see a blog on that someday. But so leaders have this propensity towards taking counsel of their fears and assumptions. Fears are easy, assumptions. And I'll give you an example. When I speak to people, especially those who work for me, I'll be telling them something and I'm looking for the reaction on their face. And there are some percentage of people in the world, which seems to me is about 99.9, but I could be wrong. I haven't done an official scientific study on it yet, who aren't going to give you that. Some people are going to nod. Some people are going to smile. Some people are going to look down and do that. And you know, they're not agreeing with you. But I think a vast majority of them are just going to give you stone face. They're going to look dead straight at you. And I try to read something into that while I'm talking to them, and I should not. I should do what I'm going to do. I've been successful to a point, and I get my word across however I do, and people seem to respond to it, and I should go with that. But nope, in the moment, I'm reading faces, and those faces have no words on those pages for me to read. And so even me, as a person with over 30 years of experience, who knows I'm reaching some people in there and knows that if I'm not, maybe I'm not trying to, but at the same time, I'm just giving them everything I got so that my point can be made. But especially young leaders, they don't know where to go. And that's where a coach kind of comes in, where you can let that off your chest. And you talked about it. I think they're out to get me. Actually not. You've just been talking to yourself for far too long. And you and yourself have had this horrible conversation. You always imagine in the workplace, at home, you have that conversation and then it breaks off and you're somewhere else and there's a text that comes in and you imagine it going down this road with the devil at the end with the pitchfork and all those kind of things. And then you come home and say, so what about so-and-so? And they say, oh, it was so-and-so. And you go, that was not how I thought that was going to go. That's a totally reasonable explanation. And I took it the best. Same thing with leaders who take counsel of their own fears.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think you explained it. I don't think we need to, beat that one any harder, but that it just gets to the point of you feel like you're alone, and every leader does the exact same thing, and that's where a coach can help to put those things in perspective. You're not alone. You're not bad. You're everything. You're a growing leader. You're a learning leader.
Yeah. I don't know. Just see if I can make the tie to the thought that popped into my mind, the story that came out of this, and it's a personal one, family story. My son he's 29 now, but family story wise, both of my kids are adopted. Chris was probably an unusual story. He came into our home at age 20, and in a mentor home relationship, and it's his story to tell. So I won't go into deep detail about him and that. I mean, if he ever wants to talk, he could. And might even have him aboard here one time, but where I'm going is, so he came into our lives in a mentor home relationship, and we ended up adopting him as an adult. That's a story I can tell some other time, but here's where it goes. So
you know, one of our responsibilities was getting him to ready to go on to independent living. And what I mean there, he was in the foster system, came to our home under this program, which was designed not to foster and adopt, but to prepare a young woman for living independently. And one of the things we did, his car broke down. He needed a new one. His car was dead and he needed a new one. So we went out with him to go buy his car. And he had the car he really wanted, and it was amazing and whatever. It was his dream car. And we took him and we sat down and we went through this drill. So we sat down with the salesman and we like told Chris, well, this is how this is going to go, stage one. And we walked him through, this is what's going to happen. And we got sure enough to, and we said, you know, at some point that salesman is going to say, well, let me go upstairs and talk to my boss about this. And so off he went. And we said, all right, huddle. This is what's going to happen next. He's going to come back down here. He's going to go, oh, this is the best we can do, but it's a really great car. It's going to move fast. You know, we really want to get you into this car before somebody else gets it. This is what he's going to say. And you need to know right now whether you're willing to take the deal or whether you're going to walk away. And you know, so we are. And then we say, oh, here he comes. We sat back. Salesman came down word for word. Said exactly what Deb and I, my wife and I said, you know, to our son, this is going to happen. And it went, and he'd made up his mind and he said, well, I can't do that. And we got up and we walked away. And as we were walking away, I said, okay, just don't look back. He's going to be here within a few minutes. We're going to go out. We're going to look at the car you really want, kick around it a while. This guy's coming back to us. And we went out and did that. Sure enough, 2 minutes later, out comes the salesman. Yeah, man, I talked to my boss. It's going to be hard to do, but we can pull this off. The point of this story is that was mentorship. And my kid's eyes went wide afterwards. That was amazing. And we're like, no, dude, that was experience. You know, and for us, it was kind of cool because he's like, you guys knew. And we're like, yeah, we knew. We knew, and we walked you through it, and you didn't know, but now you know, and you could do this next time on your own. There you go. And so there was mentorship in that, and that's where that outside perspective comes from, and the value, or where the coaching value comes in, or you know, and a mentorship, you know, frankly, hey, if someone comes to us looking for coaching, one of the first things I ask is, do you have a mentor? And if they have someone who's in a mentor role, I'd rather spend 30 minutes, 60 minutes with them talking for free about how to best take advantage of that mentorship role and then send them away with that skill and send them away building that. And it's a loss on the business side. And people tell me that's horrible business practice. But I'm not interested in just roping in coaching clients. I'm interested in helping people become better leaders. So if they've got a mentor in place, like go build that mentor relationship and get what you need out of it. And then if you're not, call us back. But that's that activity. That's what a really good mentor or coach brings to a new and developing leader is, you know, in our case, between you, Jackie, and I, we have upwards of 100 years of experience in leadership. And, you know, by the way, you hire one of us, you've hired the entire crew, and we'll connect you with the coach who you know, best works for what you're dealing with at the time. But, you know, you're bringing that experience to the table. And you're basically getting into a situation, you're bringing in a resource who can look at what you're doing and go, okay, let's ask some questions. You know, which car do you really want? How much money do you really have? What are your priorities right now? And ask those questions and then say, oh, okay, well, based on what you're telling me about those things, here's an approach you might want to take. And that's coming from that point of experience. And once we've passed that experience on and a leader has gone out and done those things, they have that experience now. And they've grown and developed as a leader. That was a long-winded story, and partly I just get excited about talking about my own kid.
The good news is, you took us right up to about the half-hour mark with a good story.
There we go.
Way better than mine. And I think we should wrap up with you telling everyone how they can get a hold of us: email, phone number, and our website.
Sure, sure.
Good summary. Instant thought coaching.
Yeah, man, I hate selling, but on the other hand, you know, I'm running a business, and you know, our priority is helping leaders grow and develop. We need folks to come and look. What I'll say going into that though is that we're putting out more and more resources that are just available for folks to come take a look. So if you're not sure what coaching is all about or that you would need it, well, fine. Visit us at www.northofcenter.com. You can go up to the navigation bar and you can go to the blog of Hard Knocks, the Hard Knocks blog. pull that stuff down, scroll read through it. You know, we have read to lead recommendations there where we don't do book reviews, but we explain why a certain book would be useful. We've got different, we did one just recently on how to run a meeting that doesn't suck the life out of your team. Those resources are there, and we're building an increasing list of resources. These podcasts, regular open forum coaching sessions, we call our office hours. For our military friends out there, that's not page 11 administrative action. That's professorial. It's an open office to come and talk to us. And we just spend, put one of our coaches on platform and just spend 30 minutes fielding leadership questions from folks who want to talk to us. So you can find us at www.northofcenter.com. You can go through our website, find the resources that you need. And if you want some help and guidance, just drop us a line, let us know what your question is, and you'll get feedback from a qualified leader, an experienced leader who wants your business, but is committed first and foremost to helping you grow as a leader. And we'll field your questions. And if we can answer a couple questions and send you away stronger with the skills you need without ever bringing you on board as a client, that's fantastic. So do please check us out. And on that note, this is Cliff W. Gilmore and BJ Fitzpatrick Jr. from North of Center signing off. Thanks for your time, gang.
See you guys later.
If you enjoyed this episode of Knock Talk, please recommend us to friends and colleagues who may also find these discussions helpful. To learn more about how communication-based leadership can help you navigate successfully in a world that operates at the speed of send, visit our website at www.northofcenter.com. You can also drop us a line anytime with your leadership questions or to recommend future Knock Talk topics at reachknock@northofcenter.com. That's reach, N-O-C, at northofcenter.com. Finally, we want to extend our sincere thanks to Forrest Reed, who produced this episode.